Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Lamed. Today's daf has been dedicated by David Meyer of Sydney, Australia, in honor of the rabbi, and he leaves a message to my beloved teacher and master. Thank you for the Torah. You have taught me, you have given me life and shown me the path of Emet. Kadosh Baruch Hu bless you and your Kahal Kadosh, and of course, all your online students, that we will continue to grow in the path of Torah and Mitzvot. The scale of Mitzvot, David Meyer, my Hashem, continue to give you Berachah and Hatzlacha. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ainu nishmat lachem Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichem b'gan Eden. Amen. We are going to begin on Chaf Tet Amud Bet. And we will start from the two dots. It is five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol shehu liftan. Any type of food that is liftan. Liftan is a type of food that you don't eat it alone. Usually you eat it with bread, like a condiment item or an appetizer item that's usually eaten with bread. So kol shu liftan, anything that is a liftan, kedeh le'echol bo. So the shi'ur is kedeh le'echol bo, meaning when it comes to a eruv, what is the shi'ur? How much liftan do you need? So that she says, כדי לאכול בו, כל שהוא לפתן שיעורו כדי לאכול בו, ללפת בו את הפת, מזון בית סעודות. How much would you need to eat with bread into סעודות? So you take that combination. How much is eaten with bread into סעודות? Because it is a לפתן. כל שאינו לפתן, if it's not a לפתן, meaning it's just a regular food, כדי לאכול הימנו. Then the amount for Eruv is how much would you eat from it alone in two Saudot. Meaning if you were having a two Saudot of this food alone, how much would you eat? So the difference between Liftan and regular food. Liftan is how much would you eat with bread in two Saudot. And regular food is how much would you eat of it in two Saudot alone. Now the Gemara gives some examples. Basar Hai, when it comes to, let's say, raw meat, כדי לאכול הימנו. That is not a liftan. Basar chai, which we know in the olden days, they would eat sometimes raw meat. And the Gemara is telling us that that's considered a regular ochel. How much would you eat of that? The shiur of two meals. Basar sali. However, roasted meat, there we have a machloket. How do you consider it? Because it seems they would eat roasted meat in different ways. Some would eat it as a condiment to the bread. Jeez, they would eat it with the bread only. So the Gemara says, Rava amar kede le'echol bo. Which means, Rava says, he looks at it as a liftan. And therefore the shiur of sali is how much would you eat with it, with bread, into sa'udot. Obviously that would be less. V'Rav Yosef amar kede le'echol hemenu. Rav Yosef says, no, the shiur is how much would you eat of it alone in two seudot. Now, if you're eating it alone, obviously it's going to be more. So the machloket, how do you classify basar sali? Do you consider it a regular food, or do you consider it a liftan? If you consider it a liftan, since it's eaten with bread, so how much would you eat with bread in two meals? It's less of the item, obviously. If you consider it a food on its own, so the shiur would be how much would you eat of it in two seudot, which would be more. Comes Gevaran says, Amar Rav Yosef, Mina Amina La. Rav Yosef comes along and says, how do I know what I'm telling you? Again, Rav Yosef Shita was, Kede Le'echol Hemenu, meaning that the whole, the seudot have to consist of the basar sali. So he says, the hani parsa'eh, these Persians, achle tavhakeh belo nehama, they eat slices of meat without bread. Which means they sit down to the seudah, they just have meat. So you see why it's not a condiment to the bread, they eat it alone. So he's basing it on the custom of the Persians. Amar le Abaye ufarsae havuru bade alma. But since when did the Persians become the majority of the world that now you're following them for practice? So Gemara says, Ve'atenan. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Now, if you remember in Masechet Shabbat, we learned that different size garments are mitameh for different classes of people. For an ani, that to him a smaller garment is even more hashuv to him, even a patch of 3x3 etzvaot will be mekabel tum'ah. For a rich man, that's not significant. For him, the minimum shiur would be 3x3 tefahim. So the Mishnah says, Bigde aniyim la'aniyim, which means the clothes of the aniyim are mitameh for the aniyim, and their shiur of 3x3 etzvaot. Bigde ashirim la'ashirim, and the clothes of the wealthy people for the wealthy people, meaning would be 3x3 tefachim. Aval bigdei ashirim la'aniim lo, which means fa'aniim, you don't need the size of 3x3 tefachim to be mitameh, because for them, since for them it's significant even by 3x3 etzba'ot, that is going to be the shi'ur. Look at the top of the sheet. Kilomar la'aniim lo ba'inan bigdei ashirim. For aniim, you don't need the size of bigdei ashirim. Ela kevan dehu hazu, since for them it is ra'ui, az lebatrayu. So you go after the aniim. Hachanameh. Afalgat leparsa'eh lav liftanu. Yes, maybe to the parsa'im, to the Persians, it's not considered a liftan. Kevan delididan havi liftan nisge b'shi'ur zuta. Which is for us, we do eat it as a liftan. And therefore, what do I care with the Persians? Just like for the aniim, we go according to them when it comes to the shi'ur. We don't care what the ashirim do. We go each class according to what they do. So the same thing by the basar sani. For us, we eat it as a liftan. Therefore, we should suffice with the less shi'ur for eruv. What are you telling me the Persians? What do the Persians have to do with anything? Persians are not the majority of the world. The contrary. Every group goes according to its manhag. So the Gemara says, "V'chi tema hacha lechumra v'hacha lechumra." Maybe I'll tell you like this: we're always going to be strict. We're going to go strict in both places. Meaning, when it comes to tum'ah, we're going to be strict. When it comes to the aniim, that even the smallest shiur of 3x3 etzba'ot, it's going to be mekabel tum'ah. For the aniim, 3x3 etzba'ot is going to be mekabel tum'ah. We're not going to say that not until it's 3x3 tefahim, like the garments of ashirim. And therefore, it's a humrah. And I'll say the same thing by eruv, that I'll be mahmir, that it's not going to be considered eruv until you have the bigger shi'ur of how much would you eat of it alone in two sa'udot. Which means, maybe we're saying the law to be stringent. Which means, when it comes to the laws of bigadim, we're saying by the aniim, what's the shi'ur? The small shi'ur, 3x3 etzba'ot, that's a humrah. That already at that small shi'ur, it's mekabel tum'ah. And we're not going to tell them, well, maybe you should go like the shi'ur of the rich people. And we'll say the same thing by eruv. Once already we found parsa'im, somebody in the world, that they eat it alone, therefore we're going to say that's the shi'ur for eruv, because that's the largest shi'ur. And therefore, if a guy puts less than that, his eruv is not going to be viable. So maybe I'm just being mahmid on all cases. So the Gemara says, "Vehatanya." Didn't we learn in a braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, "Me'arvin lechole ulzaken kedemizono." When it comes to making eruv for a sick person or a zaken, an elderly person, so you judge according to him how much he eats, which means normally he would eat less than a regular person. So therefore you go according to what he eats, and you don't go according to what the regular standard sa'udah of a regular person is. Ul ra'aftan, and when it comes to a ra'aftan, let's say somebody that eats a glutton, bis'udah binunit shel kol adam. You measure it according to a standard Sa'udah for a regular person. You don't judge a glutton with a higher standard. So what do you see from over here? You see from here, when it comes to eruv, we're not going to humrah. Because if we were going the Humrah, we would size up the Shi'ur for a Zakin and a Holeh, like a regular person, and a Ra'aftan like himself. And therefore we would always go to the strict number. And here you see what? We're not. We're being lenient to both sides. We're saying Zakin and Holeh according to a Ta'it. That's the less. A Ra'aftan according to a regular Sa'udah. That's the less. So therefore you see, we don't go to the Humrah. So therefore, we're back to that question. Why did you go according to the Parsa'im? Because they eat it as alone, and therefore you're taking that shiur. They're not the Dudur of the world. So the Gemara answers, Kasha. You're right, this is a question unanswerable. I mean, it's answerable, but the Gemara leaves it in abeyance as it is now. Comes the Gemara and says, "Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon el Azar Hacher? Did Rabbi Shimon el Azar indeed say that when it comes to the Eiruv, let's say, we go Lakir? Meaning, if you have, let's say, a Raftan, somebody that's a glutton, we don't size him up. We don't size him up according to his shi'ud of how much he would eat. We size it up according to a regular Sa'uda. Did the Bishmam al-Azhar say such a thing? V'atanya, we have a braita that says, Rabbi Shimon ben al-Azhar Omer. Now, as an introduction to this braita, there's an interesting law in the laws of Tum'ah. The law basically says like this. If you have a met in a house, okay, and there's some doorways in the house, and obviously you're destined to take the met out of the house, out of one of the doorways. The law says that, let's say you have designated a specific door where you're going to take the met out, that door is considered the door where the tum'ah will go out, and the tum'ah goes into that doorway immediately, and all the other doorways are saved from tum'ah. Which means the tum'ah is designated according to the door that you have chosen to take the med out. Now, even those other doorways that open up in the room, doesn't matter. The tum'ah will not go to those doors. However, there are certain ramifications, certain conditions. The door has to be a minimum shi'ur. What's the minimum shi'ur that you could fit a med across? So the Gemara says even a very minimal shi'ur of 4 tefahim would be considered already a size of a door that can save the other doors from tum'ah. In the event, let's say, we have one door that's 4 tefahim and the other doors are, let's say, less. So those doors will not be involved. Or let's say they're all 4 tefahim but you designated one specific door, so the other doors will not receive the tum'ah. The question is, what about if you have a big guy, like Og Melech HaBashan? So the Gemara says that case now. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Og Melech HaBashan. That's an example of a giant, a big guy. Petcho Kimlo'o. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, his door has to be as big as him. Which means, we don't give you the standard 4 tefahim, let's say. Which means, even if, let's say, you had a door 4 tefahim, right? And you designated it. Doesn't matter according to Bishwan Azar. Since Og Melech HaBashan cannot fit through that door, comes out what? Now all the doors are going to have equal status to it, and all of them have the potential to become Tameh. Because one door is not considered designated. So therefore, what do you see according to Bishwan Azar? You size up the guy according to what he is. When it came to Eruv, what did he say? If you have a glutton, you give him the standard meal. You don't give him a meal according to his level. Why, when it came to Tum'ah, when it came to the size of the opening of the door, you said, in order to save the other doors for Tum'ah, it's got to be 8 feet wide, for example. It's got to be very big. Otherwise, it's not going to save the other doors for Tum'ah, which means you're going according to his size. When it came to Eruv, you didn't. So why the difference? So the Gemara says, V'abaye, Abaye will come along and answer that question. Hatam, hechi le'abid. What do you want to do in the case of tum'ah? Hadume nehardme v'nafke. What, you want to cut him up and put him out, send him out the doorway? Which is by tum'ah v'tahara, it's got to be, you got to get the mit out. So therefore, it makes sense that what? by Eiruv, we're going to take a standard size of a shiur. Hear it realistically. You have the big guy in the room over there, so the door's got to fit to take him out. What are you going to chop the guy up and take him out? So comes the Gemara and says, Ibayilehu. The Gemara has a question. Peligi Rabbanan Ale de Rabbi Shimon el Azar Olo. Do the rabbis argue in that case of Tum'ah with Rabbi Shimon el Azar? Do they say that the door actually has to be big enough to fit Og Melech HaBashan out, so to speak, in order to save the other doors from Tum'ah? So the Gemara says, Tashema Damar Rabbi Bar Hanan Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Og Melech HaBashan Petcho Be'arba'ah. They said, no, also when it comes to him, the shi'ur of the door, as long as it's four tefahim, it's okay. So you see what? They're going like, he's like everybody else. Which means, so you have a door of four tefahim. And again, you designated that door to be the door that you're going to take him out. Or that's four tefahim, all the other doors are less. The point is, it's even though you can't fit him out that door, Hashemim will say, no, you go according to the standard size of the door, and therefore the tum'ah goes out that way. So the Gemara says, no, no proof. Hatam di'ika petahim ketanim tuva. There the case was talking about, we have a door of four tefahim, and you have a lot of other doors that are less. V'ika ha'davi arba'an. You have one that's four. De'vadai ki kamarvach be'ahu kamarvach. For sure, you're going to have to extend one of the doors to get the giant out. Which door are you going to extend? The largest one. So therefore, the fourth tefahim becomes the door that's designated where the tumah is going to go out, because that's the door you're going to expand. Which means, regularly, if let's say all of them were fourth tefahim, the same size, so then already we don't know which door you're going to expand, then the tumah will go out of all of them. The only reason why we said this case where fourth tefahim is considered the door that's designated, because the other ones are smaller, and therefore you're going to obviously lengthen the biggest one. Therefore, we consider it as if that is the designated petah, and that's why the tum'ah goes out. In any event, the Gemara continues. Gemara says, Amar Rav Chaya bar Rav Asher, Amar Rav, Memarbin bebasar hay. So we learned, you're allowed to make an eruv with raw meat. Amar Rav Shimi bar Chaya, Memarbin bebetzim hayot. You're also allowed to use raw eggs. Some people eat raw eggs. Vekama, what is the shi'ur of the eggs? Amar Rav Chaya bar Yitzhak, Sinai Amar Shtayim. Sinai said two. Sinai was a nickname that they would call Rav Yosef. Since Rabbi Yosef was an expert and he had a great memory of all the Mishnayot, so they nicknamed him like Har Sinai. He was like Sinai where we received the Torah. So they would say Sinai said, meaning Rabbi Yosef said, the shiur of raw eggs, the minimum for a idol would be two. Comes the Gemara and continues. Hanoder min hamazon, our Mishnah said, on a law of Nidarim, if a person makes a vow and he says, I vow that I am not going to eat mazon. Now literally mazon is a food that sustains, let's say, right? So he's forbidden to eat any food, but it doesn't include melach umayim. It doesn't include salt and water. Salt and water is not considered mazon, but everything else is. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, melach umayim hu delo ikri mazon. Yes. Salt and water, it's not called mazon. Ha kol mile ikri mazon. But everything else is called mazon. And therefore, it's included in his vow. Kevara says, lema teveti yufta de Rabbi Shmuel. Let this be a question on the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel that we learned already in Masechet Berachot. De Rabbi Shmuel da amri tarvayu en mevarchin bore mine mezonot el al hameshet haminim bilvad. Which means, according to them, when it comes to the berachot, we have a beracha bore mine mezonot. They say you can only make mezonot, that beracha, on the five grains, implying that only the five grains are considered mazon, implying everything else is not mazon. Fruit and other types of foods, no. Mezonot is specifically for the five grains. So obviously this Mishnah is a problem on that, because the Mishnah says a person makes a vow on mazon, everything is mazon except water and salt. So let this be a question on the shita of Rav and Shmuel. So comes the Gemara and says, "Vela odvine hadazimna." Didn't we already ask on that shitan Masechet Berachot? Which means, Rav and Shmuel, we knocked them out already from another question. So what, now you're knocking them out from this Mishnah? Which means, what are you bringing them up for? I mean, Rav and Shmuel already were discarded, their opinion was refuted in Masechet Berachot, showing us that what? That other foods are also called mizonot, which means Rav and Shmuel obviously were already refuted. Which we brought a shita that argues on them, that really I can tell you all foods are called mazon. It's just that when it came to the berakha, we only established it on the primary food that a person eats in a se'udah, which would be, let's say, the 5 grains. But that doesn't mean that other foods are not called mizonot. So they refuted him already. So the Gemara says, you're right. Lema teve tiyuftayu namemeha. We're saying, you're right, we know we knocked them out over there in Masechet Berachot, but you know what, we're bringing another question. We're saying, let it be an additional question on the Avin Shul from our Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah said what? Hanoder min hamazon, a guy that says, I am not going to have mazon, he's asur in everything except for melach and mayim, implying that what every food is called, mazon. Rabbi Avin Shmuel said, you only make mazonot on the heminim. So Masechet Berachot, we knocked them out already. We said, doesn't mean that it's not called mazon. Everything is mazonot. It's mazon. But in the Berachot, we only establish it on the 5 grains and even on rice and things like that, where people do eat a seudah out of it. It's a primary food. In any event, the Gemara says, Amaravuna be'omer kol hazan alai. So Gemara answers, you know what the Mishnah is talking about? The language of his neder was, he didn't use the word mazon, he used the word kol hazan, which means anything that is satiating, anything that's filling. And therefore, it is a difference between zan and mazon. Mazon means not only filling, but it strengthens a person and makes the person healthy, for example. That's the regular nutrition food they call mazon. That would be like wheat and barley and things like that. All other foods that just fill a person up, that would be under the category of zan. So what did the Mishnah say? Kol hazan alai, anything that fills me up is forbidden. So what does that exclude? So the Gemara says, Mayumu melach hudelo zayne. You know, salt and water are not satiating foods. Hakol mile zayne. But every other food is zayne. So therefore we can answer, it's not a question on Rav and Shmuel. Because if they would have said in the Mishnah, I'm being oser, mazon, then you're right. According to Rav and Shmuel, they could say mazon just means the 5 grains. But they didn't say that. They said in the Mishnah, kol hazan, anything that satiates. That's not mazon, that's zan, it's a different item. And therefore only water and salt are excluded, everything else included. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'amar Rabba Bar Hanna said, ki hava azilna batred Rabbi Yohanan. When we were going after Rabbi Yohanan, the mechal pered ginoser, in order to eat the special sweet tasting fruits of ginoser, that was a place in Eretz Israel, and Rabbi Yohanan loved those fruits, so his students used to go to the orchards in ginoser and collect fruit to bring it back to Rabbi Yohanan. Ki avinan b'mea, when we used to go with 100 students, hava mankitina nechol had vehad asara asara. We would take 10 fruits each, meaning we would bring back to Rabbi Yohanan 1,000 fruit of ginoser. Ki avinan be'asara, and when we were 10 students that went to ginoser, havam nektina nechol had vehad me'a be'a. So we took, all of us, 100 fruits. Vechol me'a minayu, and each set of 100 fruits, havam ma'azik lutsana, would fit in a basket, batlata seve, which equivalent was 3 se'ah, which is a large measure, which means he ate 3,000 se'ah of fruit, which means he had a tremendous amount over here. So comes the Gemara and says, or actually there was 100, so that's 10, so 300 se'ah, which is also a tremendous amount of fruit that Yohanan ate. And he ate all of them. The Amar, and he would say, Shivua, as if he would make a swear, Delo ta'im li ziyuna. He would say, I am not satiated. Which means, you see what? That it's not only Mayim and Melach that don't satiate, it seems these Perot Ginoser also don't satiate. Because what was his Lashon? This is not giving me Ziyun. And therefore it starts filling me up. So therefore, why did the Mishnah only say Chutz mi Melach u mi Mayim? What about Pinot Ginoser? So Gemara says, Ema Mezona. What the Yohanan said was, not that they're not satiating or filling them. Of course they filled them up. But they, what he was saying was, it does not provide me mazon, strength, exactly. It's not food that's giving me the nutrition of making me strong. Which is what we're saying. There's a difference between zan and mazon. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Shivua shelo ochal kikar zu. Now we go to the laws of Nedarim. A guy comes along and says, I swear, I am not going to eat this loaf. He says, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. So now the question is, can they use it for him for his Eruv? Which means, once already he swears not to eat it, does that mean he's not allowed to have any pleasure from it? Or let's say if it's used for the Eruv, it's okay. So the Gemara says, Me'arvin lo ba. They can take that bread and use it for his Eruv, because he only made a vow against eating it. Now, you'll tell me, yeah, but how can it be in Eruv if he can't eat it? Which is true, you want to tell me he didn't forbid pleasure from it. So he is deriving pleasure from it. But bottom line, since he can't eat it, how could the Eruv be viable? So we learned already in the Mishnah that a Nazir, right, that can't drink wine, he can make an Eruv with wine. So therefore, since other people can eat the bread, it's okay. So that's the first deen. However, Kikar Zu'alai, if the language of his Nedir is Kikarzu, this loaf, is on me. That's usually a language that implies, is me forbidden in Hana'ah. It is forbidden in deriving benefit, en me'arbin lo ba. Then already you cannot even use it for Eru, because it's mashma when you say the word alai, that you're forbidding all pleasures. And therefore, if they're going to use it for an Eru for him, he's benefiting now, that he's able to carry, and that bread is helping him. So therefore, alai is worse. Again, shivua shelo ochal. If he swears specifically, I'm not going to eat, then already it's permissible to use for an eruv. Shivua, if he says, hareze asur alai, that's already hana'a, and it cannot be used for the eruv. Good, that's the statement of Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Metibe, we have a question. Hanoder min hakikar, a person makes a neder on a loaf of bread. Me'arbin lo ba. So still you're allowed to use it as an eruv. We don't know what the case is. So the Gemara says, my love, de amar alai. It sounds like even if he said alai, and still you're saying you could use it as eruv. Lo, de amar zu. It's saying no. Kikar zu asud ba'achila. He didn't say the word alai. He just said zu. This one is forbidden to me, and therefore only for eating. It's asud, but for other things mutar. It makes sense to learn that braita like that. Why? Diktani sefa, because it says at the end of that braita, ematai, when do we say that it is permissible to use it as an eruv? Bizman she'amar shivu'a shelo et amenna. When he said, I swear that I'm not going to taste it. Aval amar alai mai. Oh, but what do you want to say when it comes to saying alai? Hachename de'en me'arbin loba. You want to tell me that alai is worse, that you're not going to be able to use it for the eruv because it's including all hana'ah? So the Gemara has a question. Adatani kikar zu hekdesh en me'arbin loba. The Gemara says, at the end of that Braita, the Gemara says, but a kikar of Hekdesh. Hekdesh is something that is consecrated for the Bet HaMikdash as Kodesh. So the Braita says, if you make a vow and say, I'm not eating it, then everybody can use it for Eruv. But if you say, this is Hekdesh, then of course, en me'arbin lo ba, you cannot use it for the Eruv. Why? Lefish en me'arbin be'hekdeshot. Because obviously, when you make it Hekdesh, it's Asur, with all the hana'ot. And once it's asur all the hana'ot, it's also forbidden for every person. Which means hekdesh is asur for everybody. Therefore, there's no way that it would be permissible to use something of hekdesh for an eruv. So the Braita gave us a heter case and an isur case. The heter case is what? Shavua shelo ochalba. Mutar to use it for the eruv. Because we say now he only was osir for achilab and not for the hana'ot. What's the case where the eruv is going to be asur? Harezu hekdesh. So the Gemara asked an obvious question. The Gemara says, "Liflog velitni bedida." Why did you have to jump to a case of hekdesh? You're trying to show me a heter case, an isur case. Exactly. Give me the case of alai. Keep it in a regular case of a neder and say, "Bamed devarim amurim damar zu." Aval amar alai en ma'arvin lo ba. Keep it in the same case. If you say, "Kikar zu ani lo ochal." That already is mutar for eruv. When is it going to be asur for eruv? When the guy says harezu asur alai, why did you have to jump to isur case of hekdesh? So must be that the alai case is mutar. That's why I had to jump to hekdesh. So Gemara says amal echaravuna elamai. So what do you want to say? Ravuna comes along and says kol hecha damar alai me'arbin. Well, you want to say that it's good that if you say alai, you can use it for an eruv. It's not considered asur. Kasha Resha. Which means, what do you mean? Then we have a question from the beginning of the Braita. Because the Braita said, what's the Mutar case? The Mutar case is where he said, I'm not going to eat it. Mashma, that if he said, Alai, it is going to be Asur. Which means you have a question from the Resha of the Braita. The only Heter case you gave me was Shivua Shelo Et Amena. If Alai was Mutar also, you should have said both cases. You should have said, Shivua Shelo Et Amena Vegam. Amar Asur Alai Mutar. From the fact that the Resha only brought me the case of Shivua Shelo Et Amenas Mashma, that Alai is Asur. Oh, but you have a question on me. So how can we have to bring the case of Hekdesh? Because I don't know, but bottom line, you have a question from the Resha. So the Gemara says, Hasure Mehsara Bahaki Kedari. I can tell you that maybe the Braita is missing some words, and maybe this is what it means to say. How? Hanoder mina kikar. That makes a neder on the kikar. Me'arbin loba. Va'afilu amar alai. That's the extra word. And even if he says alai, na'ase ke'omer, it is as if he said, shivua shelo et amenna. Which means that's already, we're gonna throw in alai into the words of the Braita. So comes the Gemara and says, mikol makom, Kasha l'Ravuna, which means, right, that's if you make a Hasure Mehsara. But obviously Ravuna did not make a Hasure Mehsara in this Braita over here. They were asking a question according to him. He was saying, Kasha Resha, you have a question from the Resha. Now, if the Resha said Alai, so obviously there would be no question. Obviously Ravuna, the question is, why did you have to jump to Hekdesh? If you make a Hasurim Mehsara, fine. But if you don't make a Hasurim Mehsara, so you have a case of Heter, and you have the case of Hekdesh, which is Isur. Why didn't you just say Alai? So the Gemara says, Hu de'amar kirebi Eliezer. Ravuna follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, meaning like this. Keep your Braita with your Hasurim Mehsara. Meaning, Alai according to the Braita is really Asur, no, Mutar, but the Hasurim Mehsara, and Alai would be Mutar Behana'ah. I mean, just like Shivua Shelo Et Amenna, Alai is the same thing. That's the Braita, that's the opinion of the Tanaim. I Rav Huna, he says Alai is Asur, right? Now, how could Rav Huna, who says Alai is Asur, go against the Braita? We'll tell you, you know what, he found another Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, that agrees with him. So therefore, once he has a Tana, He doesn't care what this Braita says. Let this Braita say that Allah is Mutar. He's following the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So it comes out we're going to have a Mahloket Tanaim on Alai. One Braita is going to say, if a guy says, Kikazu Asur Alai, it's going to be Mutar Fi'iru. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, which Rav Huna subscribed to that opinion, it'll indeed be Asur. Where do we see Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? The Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Shivu'ah shelo uchal kikar zu. A guy makes a shivu'ah, I'm not going to eat this kikar, me'arbin lo ba. You could make it use it as iruf because it's only isuf achila, but not tahana'ah. Kikar zu alai, en me'arbin lo ba. Bingo, so there's a bit of Isaac clearly. Alai is going to be asur. So comes the Gemara and says, Umi amar bidi Isaac acher? Did the bidi Isaac say this? Ve'atanya, we have a klal. Ze a klal. Adam osir atzmo be'ochel. If the man forbids himself from the food, meaning he says, I am forbidden to the food, me'arbin loba. Then you can use it as an ayuv. However, ochel ne'esar lo le'adam, if he says the food is forbidden to me, en me'arbin loba. Again, ochel ne'esar lo le'adam, en me'arbin loba. So which means the Gemara, in this opinion, makes a difference in how you made your neder. Which way it went. Which means if you said, I am forbidden to the bread or to the food, you can use it as an ayruv. Because that means, that implies, I am forbidden, I cannot do an action. I cannot eat it, I cannot take it, I cannot do something actively. But if somebody takes it and uses it for ayruv for him, that's happened automatically, that's okay. But if he says the other way, the bread is isur to me, that includes all cases. Now continue. The Bidya Ezer Omer. The Bidya Ezer says in that Braita, Kikar zu alai me'arvin lo ba. Clearly the Bidya Ezer said this Braita, and if you say alai, it's okay. Kikar zu hekdesh en me'arvin lo ba. But of course if it's hekdesh, you cannot use it. Lefish en me'arvin lo behekdeshot. So Gemara answers, you have to say that really there was two variant opinions of what the Bili Ezer held. One group held, the Bili Ezer said that Alai is Asur. And that's what Rav Huna subscribed to. But there's obviously another opinion, because we have a Braita that clearly says here, according to the Bili Ezer, that what? Alai is Mutar. So it comes out in the Maskana. We have one Braita that clearly says Alai is mutar with the hasur and mihsara. We have an opinion of Ibn al-Azir, one time says Alai mutar, and one time says Alai asur. Rav Huna went with the opinion that says Alai is asur, according to that opinion of Ibn al-Azir. Now let's just explain one point that Rashi brings down in the last Rashi, which is very, very important. We explained what's the logic why Alai should be Asur. So we explain, because that means he's including all hana'ot. Anything, not only eating, but it's asur to me in all aspects. Right? That's the way we learned according to Rashi. Now, look at the Rashi on the bottom, two lines, the second line of the wide lines, where it says, Lamed Aleph, Lishna Aharina. See that Lamed Aleph in Rashi? Kikar zu alai me'arvin lo ba. According to one shita, if you say alai, it's okay. What's the rationale? So that she says, the amar lekaman, en me'arvin ela lidvar mitzvah. Later on, we're going to learn, you're only allowed to make an eruv tehomin if you have a mitzvah. I mean, if a guy just wants to take a tour of the city, and he wants to walk a little more on Shabbat, they don't allow you to set up an eruv a little further from your home. It's got to be done for mitzvah purpose. You got to get somewhere, you got to visit the rabbi, etc. Umitzvot lav lehanot nitanu. And we have a rule. Mitzvot are not for pleasure. When you do a mitzvah, it's not for the hana'ah, even though it might be a good feeling, but that's not considered having hana'ah. Hilkach mishum hana'ah lo ichpatlan. So therefore, that's the sevara of why the logic will say, if you say alai, yes, alai means hana'ah. But the hana'ah in the eruv is hana'at mitzvah. And therefore, that's not considered hana'ah. because we have a rule, mitzvah lav lehanot nitan. That's not considered. When we say esur hana'ah, it's not considered the hana'ah that you're getting from mitzvah. That is not included in it. Now, v'imishum de lo hajjale, aye, but you're going to tell me, yeah, but you cannot eat it. Ha-hajjale ahirim dum yad nazir. Like we said, other people can eat it according to, like we said, by the nazir case where he forbade himself on wine. So that would be a logic why alai would be mutar. Because it's working with the inyan of the mitzvah. Comes the Gemara and says further. Now, I just want to point out, Rashi earlier wrote a different sevara why alai should be mutar. This version is telling us because of the mitzvah aspect, and it's not considered being nehene from the mitzvah. Earlier, Rashi said the logic of why alai should be mutar is, yes, alai means hana'a. I'm osir hana'a on this item to me. But usually when a guy says hana'a, he means the normal hana'a that's usually done with a piece of food. What is the normal hana'a? Eating. And therefore, he didn't mean any more than that. And therefore, for Eruv, that wasn't in his intention. So therefore, that's one way of learning. Either the logic is, stop, when a guy says Isur Hana'ah, it means the normal Isur Hana'ah, the normal benefits that you get from a loaf of bread. What is that? Eating it. But Eruv, that wasn't in his mind when he made the Nedir. Or do you say, no, when he makes a Nedir Isur Hana'ah, it can include all different Hana'ot, but Hana'ah v'mitzvah, because the only way you can make an Eruv is L'shem mitzvah, to do a mitzvah, that is not included, that's not considered a hana'ah. Now again, it should be pointed out that when you make something hikdesh, for sure you cannot use it as an eruv. Why? Because it's a suit to everybody. And therefore, everybody agrees that for an eruv to be viable, it's got to be fit for somebody. Right. And since hikdesh is a suit for all, therefore the eruv is not going to be good. Comes the Gemara and says, Me'arbin le'nazir b'yayin. So our Mishnah said what? That you can use and make an eruv for a nazir with wine. And for that matter, we said, you can also make an eruv with terumah for a Yisrael. So comes the Gemara and says, Matnitin de lo ke bet shamay. Our Mishnah is not following the opinion of bet shamay. Why? De Tanya, we have a braita, bet shamay omrim, en me'arvim le nazir b'yayin ul Yisrael b'trumah. Clearly, bet shamay says, cannot make an eruv if you're a nazir, you can't use wine, and if you're Israel, you cannot use terumah. Why? Because they're not edible to you. Betelel omri me'arbin the nazir b'yayin ul Yisrael b'terumah. Betelel says no. A nazir can use yain for eruv and a Yisrael terumah. Amru lahen betelel betchamai. So Betelel now tells betchamai, I atem modim. Do you not agree? Shemearbin the gadol b'yom kippurim, which means, if a person is a gadol, he brought two se'arot, he brought two hairs, meaning he's mature, he's hayaf to fast on Yom Kippur. But the halacha says that you could set up the eruv for him on Erev Kippur, in order for him, let's say, to walk, even though he cannot eat the eruv on Kippur because he's fasting, but since others can eat it, meaning a katan, a minor can eat it, it's okay. So Beit Hillel says, well, you don't agree to me that you can make an eruv for a gadol on Yom Kippurim even though it's not fit for him. So what's the difference between that and the nazir case? So first of all, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai responds, Amru lahen aval. They tell him back, emet. You're right. In the Kippur case, we agree to you. Amru lahen. So Beit Hillel says, okay, if you agree to me by the Kippur case, Kishem shema'arbin the gadol b'yom Kippurim, so what should be the difference? It's not edible to the gadol on Kippur. You can still make us the katan can eat it. So the nazir, he can't drink the wine, but somebody else can eat it. Israel can eat the terumah, but somebody else can eat it. What's the difference? Ube shamai hatam ika se'uda de'uya mebe'od yom. He comes along and says, Ube shamai, the case of Kippur is a little different because it was considered a se'uda de'uya mebe'od yom. He was able to eat it right when the Eruv kicked in, which the Eruv, let's say, kicks in right before the holiday starts, so therefore he's able to eat it at that point, which is Kippur itself, the Gadol cannot eat it. But right before the holiday is going in, he could still technically eat it. However, in the case of Yayin, if you're a Nazir, there's never a point you'd be able to drink the wine. And for that matter, there's never a point where you're able to eat the Terumah. Yeah, which is going into the holiday, right before, there's a point there where technically, on the Erev Kippur, when the Eruv, let's say, kicks in right away, so it's edible to him. So therefore, the Kippur case can be in the Eruv, because there is a moment where it is permissible for him to eat. Masha'ink, in the case of the Nazir, it is not. So comes the Gemara and says, Keman de lo kehananya. Now we're going to say a new point. Ooh. We're going to say a point like this. The opinion of Bet Shammai that we're quoting over here is not like Hananya. What is Bet Shammai saying over here? That you can make an Eruv with food. What's the proof that you can make an Eruv with food? The case of Kippur. You're putting the food there before Kippur, and he says, even though the Gadol can't eat it, just the Katan can eat it, it's okay. So Gemara says that is not going like the opinion of Hananya. The Tanya, because we have a Braita. Hananya Omer, Hananya says, Kol Atzman Shel Bet Shammai Lo Hayu Modim Be'eruv. But Shammai did not agree to the concept of Eruv with food. You can't make an Eruv with food. So how do you make an Eruv according to Hananya, according to Bet Shammai? Ad shiyotzi mitato v'chol kli tashmishav l'sham. You have to actually move your bed and all your stuff and all your needs and necessities to that spot. Which means, that's Shavita, residency. Not put a loaf of bread on the spot and I live there. No, you want to carry on Shabbat outside that area, move your bed, move all your stuff, and that's considered the Eruv. So therefore, obviously this whole discussion we just set up is not going like Hananya. Putting food, not food, food not an option. So Kibra says, Keman Azla Hadetanya. Who is this following Braita going like? It says in the Braita, Erev B'shehorim. Let's say you made your Eruv when you were wearing black clothes. The guy went to Erev Shabbat, he was wearing black clothes. He went to the spot. He sat there, Bereshem HaShot, the time that he has to sit there for the Eruv to kick in. And he was wearing black clothes. So it says in the Braita, Lo Yetzeh Bilvanim. So on Shabbat, he's not allowed to go out now with white clothes. Bilvanim. If he made the Eruv with white clothes on, Lo Yetzeh B'shehorim. So the Gemara says, Keman, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, Hananyai Va'aliba, Tebet Shammai. This is very good. This is Hananya according to Bet Shammai. Why? Because according to Bet Shammai, you have to have the goods that were there. If you didn't put your white clothes there before Shabbat, you're not going to be allowed to carry, which is his only clothes that he was there with was his black clothes, let's say. So you were Kodesh Shavita with those goods. But the white clothes, since they weren't there from before Shabbat, you're not allowed to carry it. So we're assuming this is the opinion of Hanan that says your goods have to be at the spot if you want to carry. So the Kabbalah says, what are you talking about? You're telling me, okay, if the guy, let's say, put white clothes. So you tell me black clothes he cannot wear on Shabbat. But you tell me the white clothes he can? How can he even wear his white clothes? If the guy wants his Eruv to be a good Eruv, didn't we say he has to put all his goods there? If the person now only put one set of his clothes, so that's not putting his goods there. So therefore it shouldn't be an Eruv for anything. Didn't we say kol kli tashmishav? Which is he actually has to move all his clothes. Until he moves all his clothes, it shouldn't even be good for the clothes that he brought there. He sat there with what white clothes. So he tell me, oh, white clothes, he can, you know, on Shabbat, now he wants to walk with his white clothes, he can. But black clothes, no. Why should he even be able to wear his white clothes? Since he didn't make the Eruv, he shouldn't be allowed to carry or walk with these clothes anywhere. So the Gemara says, Hakika Amar, Erev Bilbenim. if you made your eruv with white clothes, the utzrach l'shchorim, and now on Shabbat you need black, so it comes out that why you didn't put all your goods there, you didn't put all clean tashmishav there, af bil banim lo yitzeh. You can't even go out with white, because retroactively you see what? Your clean tashmishav went out there, you're using more goods. So that item's considered clean, that had to be there before. So kada kod bet shamai, any item that you intend on using over the Shabbat, it's got to be in that spot. That's Shemitah. That's considered Shemitah. It's a legitimate Shemitah where everything's got to be there. Otherwise, can't use anything. It's like Hananiah, by the way, Bet Shammai. That's fine. Hananiah going to Bet Shammai. Sumchus Omer Beholin. Now, Sumchus came along in the Mishnah and made a Hiluk. He said, for the Nazir, I agree. The Nazir can use wine. But a Yisrael can only use regular food. What's the difference? If you're letting a Nazir use Yain, which he can't eat anyway, so let a Yisrael use Teruma. So the Gemara says, V'ilu l'Nazir b'Yain lo palik. Sumchus did not argue in the case of the Nazir. My Tama. What's the reason? So the Gemara says, Efshar demichil anizirute. Which means, because there's a way even for the Nazir to drink the wine. He can go to the rabbi, and he could nullify his vow of Nazirut, and therefore the wine could be permissible to him. So the Gemara says, Ihache. If that's the case, Teruma name, Teruma also, Efshar demichil anaveh. Which means you could come along and regret the terumah. You could come along to the hakam and say, listen, I made a mistake in making this hekdesh over. And the halakha says hekdesh b'ta'ut, lo shem hekdesh. It's not considered hekdesh. So you can get out of it. It's terumah, you can't eat it. I go to the hakam and say, this was done under false premises over here. It was a mistake. And therefore you could turn it back into holin. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? If you take off the status of Terumah, now what happens to this food? It becomes Tebel. It's food that you didn't give Terumah to Ma'asrot on. Nobody can eat Tebel. So you're not helping it. We're trying to get the case where it's permissible. Now already by taking the Terumah status away from it, you made it Tebel, which is also Yisrud Oraita. So Gemara says, V'lefrosh alam mekom aher. No, there's still an option. Take terumah on this stuff from somewhere else. Meaning, in your house you have fruit. So technically the guy can say like this, my hekdesh, I undid. Alright, Steven, let the terumah for this stuff over here be in my house, meaning some the fruit that's in my house, and therefore I can eat it. So the Gemara says, lo nechshedu havirim netrom shelo min hamukaf. Now, hachamim are not suspected to do such a thing, to take terumah on something that's not in front of them. Why? The rabbis were concerned that she says that you're going to say, okay, the fruit that I have in my house, let that be the terumah for this. Maybe the fruit in your house was eaten by somebody at that time. And now if you didn't have your fruit in your house, what comes out? You didn't give terumah, and this is, becomes tevil. So therefore, people don't do it. Hakamim don't do that. So that's not an option. So the Gemara says, fine. V'lefrosh alem mine obeh. Fine. Take the terumah from the actual food itself. Which means you could say, a piece of this food is teruma. And how does it work? You can eat the food, and the last morsel of food becomes the teruma. So you can do it right in front. So the Gemara says, Delet b'shi'ula. Now we're talking about we have exactly the shi'ud of two si'udot. And that's the minimum of an eruv. So you can't afford now to also separate some teruma from there, because now you're not going to even have the shi'ud of in the eruv. Now look what we're doing over here. All this is to create a question on Sumchus, which means we're saying, Sumchus, how come you're not matir the guy, the Yisrael with Terumah? We're giving you a way to matir it. And every option we tell Sumchus, the answer, no, we're talking about Tamid Hakam, where he doesn't take from Hamukaf. Okay, take it from the actual food itself. You can't take it from the food because we're talking about you have the exact shiur. It's just you have the exact shiur. It's going to take away from the Mazon Shteh Se'udot. So the Gemara says, Umay Paska. Why did you posek that specifically Sumchus is talking about this case? Which means you're putting all these conditions to make an impossible scenario. Who told you that it's in such a limited scenario? Which means you're limiting the case
to a case where you only have exactly mazon shtis shudot nefu, you can't take. Who told you to limit the Mishnah like that? Seemingly when the Mishnah is talking about all cases. So we have to give another logic why Sumchu says Yisrael cannot make Eruv with Teruma. So the Gemara says, Ela Sumchu Savala Kerabanan. Sumchu holds like the rabbis. In what a chita, the Amre, that the rabbis say, Kodavar Shu Meshum Shvut. Anything that is Isud Rabbanan, Gazru Alav Ben Hashem Ashot. It is forbidden to do Ben Hashem Ashot. For example, going into Shabbat, after sunset for us, would be considered Ben Hashem Ashot. It's twilight. Sefek, Sefek Yom, Sefek Laila. Rabbanan hold. Anything that is Asur the Rabbanan, it is forbidden to do as well in the Ben Hashem Ashot area. Now, even though you could argue and say, what do you mean? Since it's only Asur the Rabbanan, and the Ben Hashem Ashot area is a Sefek itself, maybe in rabbinical items it could be lenient. The rabbi Shita is, no, once Ben Hashem Ashot kicks in, even Isur Derabbanan is forbidden. Sumchus subscribes to that opinion. And therefore what? Therefore the subject is going to be like this. This case over here, when does the Eruv kick in? The Eruv kicks in right at Shabbat, which is you have to have your Eruv viable at the time of Shabbat. Now, at Ben Hashem Ashot. Now, that means that Ben Hashem Ashot, there has to be a possibility for this Teruma to become kosher. What's the only way it can become kosher? Let's say you have more than two Seudot. We don't want to limit the Mishnah to that case we have exactly. You have more than two Seudot. So what does the guy have to do at that point? He has to say, okay, Teruma is somewhere in the mix, and therefore it becomes Hulin, and now I could eat it, and therefore my Eruv is good. But separating Teruma on Shabbat is Isur Derabbanan, because it's considered fixing. And therefore, at Ben Hashem Ashot, when your Eruv becomes viable, since he holds like the rabbis that say, anything that is Isur Derabbanan cannot be done Ben Hashem Ashot, that's why Sumchu says you cannot use this item. Because since at the time when the Eruv becomes kasher, there was no way for you to eat this. Because you couldn't separate Teruma. Certainly on Shabbat you can't take Teruma. That's Vadaik, according to everybody. But the Hiddush is even at Ben Hashem Ashot, I mean according to the rabbis, the other sheet that argues on Sumchus, they'll hold that Ben Hashem Ashot, you can do Isud Rabbanans. So therefore, at Ben Hashem Ashot, when the Eruv becomes viable, it was still edible to you. Why? Because at that point you could have separated Teruma, because it's Ben Hashem Ashot, only Isud Rabbanan. But Sumchus that holds that Isud Rabbanan cannot be done Ben Hashem Ashot, therefore he holds a Yisrael will not be able to use Teruma as his Eruv. Comes the Gemara and says, Keman Azla, who is the following statement going on? Like. Hadetanya, Hadetan, what it says in the Mishnah. Yesh Amru, Hakol Lefi Mashehu Adam. The Mishnah says, everything in Shi'urim goes according to who the person is. Meaning, example, Melo Kumso Minha. You know, if a person brings a Minha into the Beit HaMikdash, so the Kohen takes a Kometz. Kometz is like a handful, certain way, he draws the flour and he puts it on the Mizbeah. So the Mishnah says, some Kohanim have big hands, some Kohanim have small hands. How do you know what the Shi'ur of Kometz is? So the Mishnah says, Melo kumso minha, which means it goes according to his kometz. A big kohen goes according to his, a small kohen according to his end. Umelo hofnav ketoret. The same thing on Kippur, where the kohen has to take a handful of the ketoret and put it on the coals. Some kohen have big palms, some have smaller, according to whatever the size of his hands are. Vashote melo lugmav biyom kippurim. For that matter, it says the shi'ut to be hayav karet on Kippur is if you drink a cheekful of liquid on Kippur. That's the Isur with Karet. Some people have a big cheek, some people have a small cheek. It goes according to every person's mouth. Ubmazon shte se'udot le'iruv. And for that matter, when it comes to making the se'udot for the iruv, it goes according to what the person is. Some people eat a lot, some people eat less. So we want to know who's the author of this statement. So Gemara says, Keman, who's it like? Amar bizera sumchusi. This must be going like Sumchus. Why? De amar mai de hazile ba'inan.
which means according to Sunchus, as we learned in the Mishnah, it has to be ra'ui to the person. Which means, the reason why he says, the logic why Yayin is okay for a Nazir, is because he is able to eat it by making da-da-da on the vow. So therefore he holds it has to be ra'ui for the person himself. So therefore when it comes to the Ayruv, also it's going to go the other way. Which means if the person eats a lot, so for him it has to be ra'ui. We don't know if other people can eat it. The rabbi's logic was, you know what, the Nazir case is good? Because if he can't drink the wine, somebody else can drink the wine. Also, according to them, we don't judge it according to the person himself. You can even go according to other people. However, according to Sumkos, he says, no. For the guy who made the Erub, it's got to be fit for him. So therefore, it can fluctuate now. Which is, some say you have a guy that eats a lot, according to Sumkos, it's got to be fit for you. Because you have more. If you eat less, then less. So this shita is a shita throughout the halakha. Meaning, as the same law applies to the Kohen making the Kometz of the Mincha, or the Melo Chofna of the Ketoret, and the Melo Dugma of Yom Kippurim, it all goes according to the person. Not, we don't look at other people, we look at the person himself. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gemara continues. Lema Pliga Ad Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. But let's say that this Mishnah that we just quoted, that we say it goes according to the person, let it say it's arguing on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Tana, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Me'arbin l'chole v'lezaken kedem izono. Didn't we say that when it comes to a zaken and a chole, we give him according to what he eats, ura'avtan b'sa'uda benunit, shen kol adam. And when it comes to the glutton, we give him a standard shi'ur, which is obvious if you're giving the glutton the standard shi'ur, you're not giving him what he eats. So therefore, obviously that's not going according to that Mishnah, because that Mishnah, so when it comes to Eruv, it goes according to what the person eats. Hey, you're telling me no, Rabbi Shimon. You're telling me that a glutton that eats more, give him the standard shiur of a seudah of a benonit. So are we going to say Rabbi Shimon Azar argues on that Mishnah? Kabbalah says no. Targema ahole v'zaken. He'll explain that that Mishnah that said that you give the Eruv according to the shiur that the person eats, he learned it, yeah, it's a case of a zaken or chole. Meaning, since a zaken or chole eat less, you can set up the Eruv less. It wasn't talking about a glutton. Why wasn't it talking about a glutton? It's ra'avtan batla da'to etzel kol adam. When it comes to the ra'avtan, that's an exceptional case where the guy eats so much, that's not normal. Therefore, we give him the standard shiur. But the Mishnah was not mentioning that. When the Mishnah said, Uba'iruv, hakol lefi mashehu adam, that's referring to a zaken and a chole. So very good. So Bishamon holds that a zaken and a chole, you can give them the less amount. Therefore I could say that Bishamon is going like that. Mishnah, the Mishnah was not talking about gluttons, because it could be the Mishnah will agree by a guy who eats a lot, give him the standard, because that guy is not considered a normal eating, and therefore it would be permissible. Comes the Gemara and continues. Kohen bebet haparis. Now we said in the Mishnah that a Kohen can set up his Eruv in a bet haparis. What is a bet haparis? That is an area, a field, where they buried a mit, right? And they plowed it. They plowed the field. So the hashash is that maybe the blades of the plow picked up some of the bones of the fragment of the mit. And the law is that when the Kohen is going to walk down this field over here, that the etzem, the bones, are mitameh kisora. They have the ability to metameh even the size of a seora, the size of a barley corn. Therefore, the question is, how could he put it in the bet haparis eruv? Since the kohen really cannot walk into a bet haparis, it's not accessible to him this eruv before Shabbat or on Shabbat. So, but the Mishnah said no. The kohen can put the eruv in a bet haparis. So the Gemara says, you know why? The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, menapeach Adam bet haparis veholech. Because a kohen can walk into a bet haparis. There is a way. How? When, exactly. When he walks to the bet haparis, the halakha allows him to blow his way through it. Meaning, as he walks through, he blows the area. Now, what's going to happen? If there's any barley corn size pieces of bone, they'll blow to the side, and therefore, he could walk through. We're not concerned about ohel, because there's no ohel on such small fragments. The issue is over, he might touch them or move them. So the concern over here is what? No problem. Let him just blow them to the side and walk through. So why were the rabbis lenient, by the way, in this? Because the whole thing is a sefik. The hashash is that maybe when they plow the field, maybe... Now normally when you plow, the blade doesn't go so deep in order to lift up the bones of a dead body. It's a hashash. Maybe it did. So the rabbi said, you know what? A kohen can walk through the cemetery. The Beit HaParis, I'm sorry. So since he can walk through the Beit HaParis and he put the eruv there, it is okay. Comes the Gemara, continues. Rabbi Yehuda... Like, can we just read this Rashi? Let's read this Rashi together. Menapeh Adam Beit HaParis, Sadesh Shin Hadash BaKever. A field that they plowed a kever in it. Dechule Sifika. The whole thing is a Sifik. Mishum Atzamot. Yahi Va'atzamot Melo Basar Eno Metame Be'oil. Bones alone without flesh on them do not have a problem of oil. So we're not concerned when he walks through, he might roof himself over anything, because there's no oil over here. Ukshim Menapeh Lefnei Raglav Im Yesham Etzem Gadol Nir'eh Me'elav. Right, the big bones, when he's walking through, he'll see. The small bones are going to blow away, and he didn't move it with his legs. The isur of tumah is when he moves it with his feet. So therefore, he can't walk through that area. Comes to Gemara and says, Rabbi Yehuda, but Amei Mishimed Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Bet HaParis Shenidash Tahor. If you have a Bet HaParis, let's say it was trampled by people, which means everybody walked through it like a thoroughfare, so now the Kohen can walk through it straight. Why? Because the assumption is now they trampled everything, and even if there were things that were the size of a se'ora, they already crushed it and smashed, and therefore you don't even have this shiur of a se'ora. Last point. Rabbi Yehuda said that you can even put the eruv of the Kohen in the Beit HaKibarot. And what was the logic? So we said, right before Shabbat, technically, you can go in and get it with a box. If they put the Kohen in a box, right, in the Shedat, they've all migdal, and they put him in the cemetery, so we said the box separates the Tumah, and therefore, he can get in, technically. So comes the Gemara and says, Tana, mipnei sheyachol la'utz v'lech b'shedat teva'o migdal. The heter is because he can go in a Shedat teva'o migdal. There's different types of wagons, carriages, that he can go in. So Gemara says, Kasabar, obviously this opinion holds of Yehuda, oil zaruk sheme oil. We have a whole question, a movable oil, is it considered an oil that interposes in front of the Tum'ah? Some say no, an oil's got to be a stationary item. But an oil that's moving, like this case where you're putting the box and you're carrying him through, a moving oil is not an oil, therefore the Tum'ah can go through. Obviously the Yehuda holds, oil zaruk, meaning a movable oil, sheme oil. And therefore the eruv is considered an eruv because he can go in one of these boxes and get it. Now, ufrukta dani tanaeh. It's actually the mahloket tanaim. Detanya hanichnas le'eres ha'amim. A guy goes to the land of the goyim. And the rabbis put a tum'ah on eres ha'amim. That if a person goes to the land of the goyim, he is automatically tameh. So it says, however, let's say he entered eres ha'amim b'shedat teva migdal. He was in a carriage, a box. Right, now they're carrying him through. So the Gemara says, Rabbi mitameh. Rabbi says, the guy's tameh. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda mitahir. Bemai coming pligi. What's the source of their argument? Mor sabar oil zaruk lasheme oil. One rabbi says, a movable oil is not an oil. Therefore he is tameh. Mor sabar oil zaruk sheme oil. The other opinion says, no, oil zaruk is an oil. Now, I have to make one point that Ashi says. The size of this box over here has to be a big box that can fit at least the shi'ur of 40 se'ah of water. And for that matter, in the dry measure, whatever the shi'ur is. The point is, it has to be a big box. Why? Because once it's so big, it's not considered a keli anymore. Because if it was a small box, it would be called a keli. A keli, a vessel, cannot interpose from tum'ah. It itself will become tameh. Kelim become tameim. So aside from the whole machloket is, if it's a small box, it's a keli itself, everybody's going to say what? It's tameh. The hadush of it is when it is larger. Let's read that last Rashi. Sheme oil vechotzetz ubegedola askina. Shemahazeket mem se'ah belach. That's 40 se'ah in liquid measure. Shem kurayim biyavish. So he gives you the dry measure. The dry measure would be 2 kur. Because if it's smaller than that, keli. ומקבלת טומאה. It itself receives טומאה, ולא חייצה. And therefore, as she concludes, ורבנה דמתניתין כרבי סבירה. The rabbis that said that the Kohen cannot go into the Mekas Eruv in the Bet HaKevarot, the rabbis of the Mishnah hold, obviously like Rabbi, that an oil zaruk is not considered an oil. Therefore, there's no way for the Kohen to get it. Therefore, it's not an Eruv. And therefore, according to the Bihuda, he will hold like the opinion of the Rabbi Yoseh, Rabbi Yehuda, that says oil zaruk, sheme oil, therefore it interposes. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen.